So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles or on your phones or wherever you have the Word of God to Isaiah chapter 41. And we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 10 this morning. Yeah, hear these words. "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from his farthest corner, and I called you. And I said," I love this, "you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So in a pretty yucky season of my life, I thought for sure that I was done. You ever get one of those feelings, you know, like, this is it, this is the end, I'm finished, I'm just done? Actually, there's probably a number of seasons in my life where I felt that way. One particular time in my life was about 6 years ago, and things were pretty rough for me. I was going through personal burnout, I was going through professional burnout, and yes, 6 years ago, it's before I came here, just in case, you all didn't know that. I was going through personal burnout and professional burnout. I was going through family burnout. I mean, I was just done. And I was emotionally and mentally and physically and spiritually finished. And I'm not just talking about like being tired or being weary or being worn out or being fatigued. I mean, I was done. I was done with everything and I was done with everyone. I was just tired of people. I was tired of situations. I was finished. I was finished with ministry. I was just finished. And I have to be honest, bad thoughts kind of crept into my mind about being done and the finality of that. I have a team of people during that time that walked with me through that time, and a counselor who spoke to me each week. God bless her. She had to deal with all my stuff. God bless her. I had some close friends that I would confide in, an accountability partner that walked with me. I had a clearness team that really cared for me and supported me and encouraged me. And again, those few very close friends that I needed. The reality is, if I did not have some kind of faith in God, some kind of accountability with brothers and sisters in Christ, that I didn't seek help, if I don't know what would have become of me. I surely know I would not be here in Lancaster County. I know that for sure. What I have come to realize is that coming out of that time, the power and the might and the wonder of God is what truly sustained me. Because in that space, because of God's reassurance, even when found through other people, I was able to make it out of that time of trouble, that time of struggle. It was because of those times in my life when I felt at the lowest part of my life, those moments when I felt at the lowest, that I now know when things come my way, that I can have an unwavering hope, that I don't have to fear the unknown, that I don't have to worry, because I have actually seen and felt the power of God work through all situations for good, to bring me closer to Him. Webster defines trouble as this: distress, affliction, danger, or need. It goes on to define it as pain, disease, malfunction, the cause of confusion, to inconvenience, or to bother. Now, I don't know which one of those definitions might fit you this morning, right? But I want to say that if you ever find yourself in any of these situations, there is help, friends, there is hope in times of trouble. Amen. That throughout the Bible, God uses times to help shape and to grow and to discipline His people. And today, most of us would readily admit that we are shaped by our past and our present expressions and experiences of life. And that each of our life experiences, the good and the bad, can remind us on how to depend more on God. He is the source of every good thing, as well as the one who strengthens and guides and helps us in time of trouble. Now, I don't want to confuse you, so I want to set the record straight. God does not only shape you in times of trouble. That's not the only time that God shapes you. He also is able to shape us with the continued blessing that He has for us. Consider Job for an example. I mean, a man of many blessings, it says, but nevertheless, in the midst of his blessings, his character grew in him so that when he was hit wave after wave of bad things happening, he was able to endure the storm. I think, unfortunately, friends, more often than not, I think it's only in times of trouble that we seem to turn to God. Think about that. It's in the time of trouble is where we learn that we are not alone and that only God can handle all of the problems that we're facing. And I don't know why, but in times of serious crisis, we somehow realize that we need to depend then on God's presence, on God's grace, and on God's love. Now, that's not a problem. It's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that because God can use the everyday circumstances, the everyday moments to teach and deliver us, but can also utilize those moments in our life when we are on the mountaintops and those moments in the valleys to shape and mold us into who he calls us to be. Now, there's no better person than to describe the scripture that was read, the message, than Moses. Now, most people know Moses, right? You see, Moses from his birth to his death, his whole life, God was shaping and molding him. You know the story? God needed someone to kind of lead his people out of the bondage of slavery into freedom and into a new relationship with God. And guess what? God appointed Moses to do that. And you know, Moses was a lowly shepherd at that time. He was a murderer on the run. And it goes to show the power and wonder of God. God is hope. God is help in the times of trouble. Some of you may have done some things in your past that you might want to forget, but I'm here to tell you that God uses those tragedies to deepen your dependence on him. And one good thing about that is that through the tragedies of life are often force us to cry out to God, because God wants to be your hope, God wants to be your help in times of trouble. Friends, I want you to know that I don't want you to ever think that your background is too rebellious. I don't want you to ever think that your background is too difficult or too sinful for God to use you. If in your past you have deceit or hatred or racism or adultery or rebellion, do not be dismayed, because you're in the same company as Moses, as King David, as the Apostle Paul, as Abraham, Jacob. You're in my same space and all of the others. If you look around in the room, we all are fallen and broken people in need of a Savior. Besides, God doesn't take you for what you did in the past. He takes you because of the bright future he sees in your eyes. He meets you where you are, and he sees you. If you're willing, if you are ready, if you trust in him, he takes your willing heart, regardless of the path and past, and creates a new heart, a new creation, and one that seeks after him. See, each situation we face in life further develops our character, and God's help will leave this your current circumstances way better than what you were before then. I mean, did you hear the scripture? I mean, it's pretty clear there. It says, I have chosen you and not rejected you. You are not a reject. Not at all. Yeah, the word rejects you. Yeah, people will reject you. Yeah, you might feel left out or cast down or pushed aside, but not by the one that really matters, which is Jesus, right? You can have faith, you can have trust, you can have a hope, and the foundation understanding of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit does not leave anyone behind that cries out to them. It just doesn't happen. God will bring you through your situation, amen? But here's the rub. Here's the difficulty. We want to trust, right? We want to believe. We want to move through the valley. We want to move through the desert. But we want it now, don't we? We don't want to wait another 6 months. We don't want to wait another year to move through this valley time. We want it done now. How many of you are with me? Amen on that. I'm done. I'm done this valley moment. I'm finished, right? We want the transformative power of Jesus to happen now in our lives. We want the movement of the Spirit to happen in the lives of our friends and our family right now, don't we? And here's the reality. I'm going to tell you a little secret. Listen in closely. Listen in. Change doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't. It takes time. It takes effort. Think of Moses again. Did you know that it took 80 years before Moses was ready to listen and obey to God? 80 years. 80 years before God used this lowly shepherd to bring down the mighty Pharaoh to his knees. Remember, Moses had been a fugitive on the run. He was in exile in Sinai wilderness, far from his home and family. He was tending goats and sheep, which goes to show me that regardless of how bleak his future may have seemed, that was where God needed him. You see, in order for God to use you fully, you need to be where he wants you to be. See, Moses was where God wanted him. You see, Moses, that circumstance that he was in of being a shepherd, of being tending sheep and goats, made him humble, made him moldable, made him teachable, made him pliable for what God was going to use him for. Now, I hope and pray it does not take you 80 years to listen to God's voice, but it might. Perhaps you're in the wilderness right now. Perhaps, man, are you in the wilderness now? Are you feeling desolate right now? I feel like we're in the desert right now. We're just wandering around right now. Are you feeling desolate right now? Listen to the scripture. So do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Be not dismayed. Friends, I want to say, it's a good thing that you're here right now, right? It's a good thing that there are people online listening right now. And it tells me that you want to hear a word from God this morning, that you want to get out of your wilderness this morning, that you want to get out of your struggle this morning, that you're ready for a change this morning, that you don't want to live in fear, and that you want to be people who wish to live in the hope of Jesus this morning. Just being here says, I want something new, I want something different in my life, and I can't wait for God to pour out his spirit on us. And I want to encourage you to ask God to reveal to you what it is that he has prepared for you today. Pray for a better understanding of what you need and respond to what he desires for your heart. From God's heart to my heart, from my heart to your ears, and from your ears to your heart, I hope and you pray you hear me say this today. You ready for it, church? You ready? Three of you. How about the rest of you? Y'all ready? Yeah, okay, listen to this. Do not fear, God says, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. How exciting is that? I mean, the Lord of the universe, the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, everything, the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God is saying, I am here for you. Whoo! I am here for you, Carl. Here for you, Macy. Darren, God is saying, I'm here for you. He says, I will strengthen you. Yeah, that's right. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you by my righteous right hand, is what he says. Just like Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a direction and a calling in your life so that when you leave that desert, because you can trust God will help you out of it, but when you leave that desert time, when you leave the struggle, when you leave the trouble, because you know who God is in your life, you don't have to go back there anymore. Do not fear, friends. How do we do that? How do we not fear? Now, throughout the whole Bible, there's tons of times where people are saying, don't fear, don't fear. Scripture says don't fear. Well, that's pretty easy. That's an easy answer right there. There you go. And it means you don't have to be afraid of anything. Why? Because God says, I'm with you. How can we be afraid of anything if we have the creator of the universe who's walking alongside of us? It doesn't say don't fear because Ryan Burkholder is with you. It doesn't say don't fear because Don Hall is with you. Although I think she could probably kick some butt, right? I think so. It doesn't say don't fear because Alex is with us or Marty is with us or Phil is with us or Pam is with us or Gary is with us. It doesn't say don't fear because those people were. God says don't fear because I am with you. Amen? Yeah. David reminds us in the Psalms, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our scripture today tells us, be not dismayed. It simply means, don't be discouraged. Right? Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be troubled. Don't be even perplexed. In the wilderness, in the desert, lift up your chin, right? Get your shirt down, chest out. Let's go kick some, let's do it. Right? Even in the midst of the trouble, even in the midst of the weariness, even in the midst of the desert, even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, we need to stand tall because we have a God who stands tall with us and he calls us to something abundantly more great than anything we can ever hope and imagine. Stand tall. Do not lose courage. Do not lose your trust. Do not lose your hope. Do not lose your faith in the midst of the difficulties of life, because your life will become a testimony in this world of God's power and of God's love. Friends, we're blessed today. Amen. We are blessed. And we should be blessed and happy that we have a God who sticks closer to us than anything and anyone. We are to be joyous this morning because we have a scripture that says, I am your God, which means in spite of anything that you're going through, I am your God. In spite of your circumstances, I am your God. In spite of your struggles, I am your God. In spite of the wilderness that you're in, I am your God. Because in that moment, friends, the scripture says that God will strengthen me. Let me see your muscles. Let's see it. Good, good job. God will strengthen us, right? God will strengthen us. And that means when the night seems the darkness, when the wilderness is taking forever, when the valley experiences seem the lowest, when your mountains seem too hard to climb, God will strengthen you and will uphold you, and you can take on the wilderness, and you can take on the valley, and you can have hope because God will provide for you whatever you need while you are there, and you can trust in that, you can have hope in that, and you can have faith in that. Don't give up the fight. Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Oh, yeah. Which means that God will give you the power to withstand whatever is going on in your life. Testimony. Scripture finally says, I love this, I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. I think that's something to get excited about, friends, because that tells me that I'm not in the struggle alone, that God is upholding me by his righteous right hand. It means to me that my God has got my back, and I'm not the only one fighting this battle that I'm in. Not only does he have my back, he's got my front, he's got both sides, he's over top, he's underneath, he's ready to go. And when we're at our lowest point and it seems that the enemy is encamped around us, we can feel the words of the psalmist who says, I will lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. You see, God wants to help us in our time of trouble. So don't be afraid. Do not be dismayed. God will strengthen you when you feel you are at your weakest. God wants to help you during your time of trouble. God will uphold you and prevent you from falling. He wants to defend you in your time of trouble. Do not be focused on the trouble or the crisis. Just remember what God is doing in the midst of it and that he's going to help everything be okay. It's going to be all right. So ride on through the storm. Rough riders, ride on through the storm. Trek on through the wilderness. Walk through the valley of the shadow. Make your way through the desert. Don't look at your present state as a distraction, but look at your trouble as an opportunity for God to build a bridge over troubled waters. There's hope in the Lord, friends. And you can trust his might, and you can trust his wisdom, and you can trust his power. But will you let him? That's the question. In this verse, if you look at it, it gives us two commands to obey. It says, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Two very clear commands. In this verse, it gives us two reasons to obey those commands. For I am with you and I am your God. And there are three promises that will occur when we listen to those commands and we follow them, when we obey those commands. God's promises are is that he will strengthen us, that he will help us, and that he will uphold us by his righteous right hand. Friends, God has us covered. He says, I'm your God. He's over us. He says, I'm with you. He's beside us. He said, I will strengthen you. That comes from within side of us. He says, I will help you. He's all around us. I will uphold you. He's underneath us. God is over you and by you and inside you and around you and underneath you in every situation of your life. Do not fear. Trust in God. Have hope in the future. And don't ever give up. Amen? Let's pray together. God, your love never fails. We know, Lord God, that in the midst of our world, in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of all of the things that we are going through, we know that you never fail us. And so, God, in that midst, in the seasons of trouble, in the seasons of turmoil, in the seasons of strife, God, I just pray that we can focus on being a people who care for you, who love you, who surrender to you, and who seek your guidance in all things. We pray, Lord God, that as a body of believers that we can encourage and support and walk with one another in these seasons in such a way that honors and glorifies your name. We pray, Lord God, that in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, that you are there encouraging us along a path of righteousness. God, we need you. Don't we need you ever? Walk with us now, Lord God. We pray these things in your Son's name.